In Gaza, things did not improve while the world celebrated the new year. Far from it. A new report from the UN says 90% of Palestinians say they've regularly gone without food for at least a day. 1 million people are in a food emergency state. Another 375,000 are in the catastrophe phase, meaning the first criteria of famine, which is defined as at least 20% of a population suffering from food insecurity, malnutrition, starvation. This is the highest proportion of people facing food insecurity that the UN's IPC, that's an integrated food security phase classification, has ever analyzed in any country or region in history. Shaza Moghrabi is head of communications for the UN's World Food Program in New York, in constant contact with her teams on the ground in Gaza. Shaza, what are you hearing? What are families facing with food?
Thank you, Robin, for having me. I think, as you said, this is something that's completely unprecedented on so many levels. From one point, the scale, the sheer scale of it, but also the rapid deterioration of the food security situation in Gaza over the past two and a half months. It's very concerning. So we have not seen something like this before. And as you said, what this means on the ground is that families are going for days and days without food, particularly in the northern areas where it's been more difficult for humanitarians to access people who are in desperate need. Yeah. Each day is a desperate search for some food because, as you know, food supplies have been completely depleted inside Gaza. And at the same time, the entry of food and humanitarian supplies into Gaza has been very, very difficult. The restrictions is not allowing us to get the amount of food and humanitarian supplies that we need to measure up to the epic level of needs on the ground.
Yeah, well, we tried to connect this week with Gaza journalist and mom, Maram Humaid, and she's been writing about her daughters missing their favorite foods and holiday treats, which, of course, you know, makes us feel sick about all the leftover holiday cookies and cakes that are here. But she also talked about milk, baby formula. So you're saying this isn't getting in. I mean, does this mean trucks aren't being allowed in? What's the sense?
We are getting some nutritional supplies in, and particularly recently, we've increased the number of nutritional supplies that are coming into the trucks. But again, it's not nearly enough as much as we wanted to meet the level of needs on the ground. What's actually coming into Gaza so far is just a drop in the ocean of needs, and we need much more. We need unimpeded, consistent access to avert a catastrophe of epic proportions. As you've mentioned, according to the report, there is a very serious risk of famine in a matter of weeks by February, as soon as February. And the report came out on the 21st of December, and we were calling for a long-term ceasefire then. Every single day, this risk is becoming more and more of a reality. So in order to end this, we need a cessation of hostilities. We need commercial cargoes to go into Gaza. It's not just the humanitarian aid. We need that to flow back in. And we need all border crossings to open, to allow for that.
Well, what does, I mean, despite, you know, I mean, aside from the horror of children, especially who aren't eating, we know that 7,500 according to reports from inside Gaza, are showing signs of wasting away. But what does a classification like famine do? Does it trigger some kind of different response?
I think the important thing is that just because famine is not declared does not mean people are not suffering, they're not starving. Starvation is quite rampant in Gaza. Nowhere is safe in Gaza, and no one in Gaza is safe from starvation. And if you combine that with the weather conditions, with the inadequate, housing that people are forced to stay in, winter coming in, this is a recipe for disaster. We're already worrying about the outbreak of disease. Couple that with malnutrition, and you're going to see millions and millions of people die of diseases and issues related to malnutrition. So just because a famine has not been declared does not mean people are not dying because of related conditions, because of the disease and the malnutrition.
And by the way, you should say, you are saying Rasa, the Arabic pronunciation for Gaza. And either way, we're hearing there's a fear that, you know, moving people out might become displacement, that they might not be allowed back in. We only have a few seconds here. What can people do?
I mean, this is, to be honest, we as humanitarians are doing all that we can possibly can to reach people who are in need, but it's becoming really, really difficult. We are faced with a number of roadblocks, the operational space that is shrinking, the layers of inspections that are at the borders, the communication blackouts, the relentless bombardments. It's not safe for our staff to deliver assistance, and it's not safe for people to access the distribution points. So even our staff are just as traumatized as the population. They've suffered loss, trauma, and also themselves are displaced. So it's an operation that is unprecedented. That being said, we are doing all that we can, and we have been delivering as much as we possibly can under these impossible conditions, and reaching people. I think so far we've reached about 670,000 people in Gaza. Okay. But it's a very fluid situation.
Well, just remember groups like yours and Save the Children and others. Shaza Moghrabi of the World Food Program, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.